What a Monday night for the state of Wisconsin. How we doing? It is Tuesday, October 16th. It is the Daily Tap. Charlie here with the first solo tap in a long time. Really since, God, I think it was a weekend watch list maybe. A couple weeks ago. I apologize for the voice as is. I am battling a travel cold. Definitely a big head cold coming back. From jolly old London, definitely caught something on the plane or caught something right as I was leaving. So I sound very congested. I am not going to probably do a very long podcast today, probably a little shorter than what we are used to. We'll see. But I'm just, it's a variety of things. I need to get my ass to bed. I need to also just not be talking this much. When I have a head cold, and you guys don't need to hear me sniffling through the microphone or anything of that nature. Do want to tell you guys before we get started, talk about what a great night in the state of Wisconsin that we do have the NBA preview. Now that is out. It is live. Mitch and I did it on Sunday. It went live Monday. The NBA gets officially underway today. So underneath this podcast, when you're subscribing on iTunes, you'll see the NBA preview right there for you. Go subscribe. Go listen. A more than enough reason to go subscribe. We do also have it on SnowTap WI. It's a website. You go to the SnowTap Network page. You hit Tapping the Keg Podcast. You'll see that right there is where you can find that NBA preview. All right, let's waste no more time because who knows how long before I tap out on this thing. All right, so it was a build as sort of the Wisconsin Monday night special. You had the Milwaukee Brewers and the Green Bay Packers both playing. The Packers were heavily favored while the Brewers were a little bit of an underdog. Well, you couldn't tell by the end of the night which was which. The Brewers come out and win 4-0. They really had a dominating performance against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The first time since 1983 that the Los Angeles Dodgers have been shut out in a playoff game at home. Crazy stat. There's going to be a lot of people who could say, oh, it should be 3-0, it should be this, it should be that. First of all, I'm just happy that it's 2-1. Brewers now are at a full house money position, heading back that they know that no matter what LA does on Tuesday and Wednesday, they're going back to Milwaukee on Friday. So the Brewers have their first 2-1 lead since 1982. They did not have a 2-1 lead against the St. Louis Cardinals. Remember, the Cardinals played ahead. I think they were up 3-1 before the Brewers forced it to a 3-2 series, headed back to St. Louis, headed back to Milwaukee, where they then lost. It was also not the same as it was where it flipped. It was Milwaukee for two, then St. Louis for two. And I think so. Was that right? No, I do think it was like how they do it today. Regardless, the Brewers didn't have a lead there. The Brewers do have a chance to sort of go for the throat tonight. I mean, tonight will sort of be that you go for the throat. It is house money. You could still use Josh Hader, but if you go for the throat and then you have a chance to really make it a sort of, well, if we clinch, we clinch. If not, we have a chance to clinch at home on Friday night. I mean, the Brewers have continued to show their dominance. I mean, how many times have the Milwaukee Brewers just continued to be this dominant team, and yet the Fox announcers, the Joe Bucks of the world cannot give them enough credit? It's like, put some respect on the name. Like, I'm not huge into the whole respect. I'm not really that worried about it. But it's kind of crazy to me that Jalees Chassin can do what he does. Wade Miley did what he did. And that still, these guys just sort of are failing to acknowledge or debating about Hader without kind of conveniently forgetting that Hader probably sits tomorrow, and then Council has him ready to roll for Wednesday and Friday. If you pitch Hader on Tuesday and Wednesday, he may not be available on Friday. That might be a risky move. They know what they're doing. Like, this Brewers team has had this figured out all year. They've done this time in, time out. Like, they have a method to the madness. It drives people crazy because you can never figure it out. I think Brewer fans have learned to sort of just go with the punches. And you do question Council here and there, but you sort of have to trust the process, which is such a cliche term at this point in our livelihoods. But that's sort of how it is. Like, you can't necessarily just immediately think that this is, you know, Knebel pitched in the sixth inning today. I mean, or sixth and seventh. He was filthy. He was great. But, you know, you could argue, well, maybe they needed him in the ninth. Well, that's when Council thought Knebel, the closer, mattered. That's when he wanted him to close the game. That's when he wanted him to close the door. And Orlando Arcia becoming this playoff god. My dad called him Senior October. I kind of like that nickname. I'm definitely may steal that, because this dude is just continues to be clutch hit after clutch hit. He is a solid eight hitter for this team. He's sort of just had this redemption story. And it's, again, just so many stories of how the Brewers have sort of came back from the dead, whether it's Corey Knebel, Eric Kratz, Arcia. I mean, there are so many countless names where these guys are just sort of a gang of idiots. Like, it is a lot like that Boston team in 2004, which I'm sure Simmons will fucking compare him to if they play the Red Sox in the World Series. They're like, you know, that reminds me of the Red Sox of the 2004 team, you know, just a bunch of nobodies, yada, yada. Whatever. Obviously, we don't have Pedro or anything close to it. That said, you know, yeah, they, and Joe Buck mentioned it on the broadcast today. He's like, this is the loosest team that I've seen. Like, these guys have no pressure. Like, they're not fazed by the moment. So I love it. I would also be curious to see, even though it's a lefty matchup with Rich Hill on the mound, who's been very good against the Brewers in the past, I wonder if they may try to flip the order a little bit and have Christian Yelich lead off. Like, and have Lorenzo Cain hit second, and Braun third, just to see if maybe that could spark Yelich and Cain, since they both have sort of struggled at the top of the order. It's not really been about them this series. So maybe they do a little maneuvering, a little tinkering. Maybe even you see something like Cain batting third, Braun batting second. Who knows? I have no idea. I think I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Craig Counsell do a little maneuvering with his lineup today, just to sort of get there. And we'll also see if Mike Moustakas gets to start at third base or they go with Travis Shaw. I personally would like them to go with Travis Shaw. I think Travis Shaw has seen the ball better than Moose, but I get it. Moose has a near gold glove at third base. Shaw's pretty good at third as well. But, you know, Moose does provide a little more defense. So I'll concede that. I won't get too mad at Craigers if he throws out Moose and Hernan Perez. But yeah, no, I feel very good about the Brewers. I would say my confidence level is at an 8 or 9. I was, you know, the Saturday game sucked, right? But you had to lose at some point. And I was talking to some guy, and I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, but it's bears repeating. You know, you get that loss, and it's just sort of a reset button. You can now say, all right, well, we're going to start another streak. We're going to get hot again, and we're going to – and I mentioned this yesterday too. Like, they feel comfortable at this ballpark. They like playing here, and it showed tonight. They were the ones who were not tight. They were the ones who were going out there and just playing with sort of a free spirit, shall we say. I love it. I think Rich Hill will be tough tomorrow. He's always seems to bring out his best stuff against the Brewers. So see how they do against Rich Hill in a pivotal game four, especially for the Dodgers. And what we said about pressure, all the pressure is on the Dodgers. All right, let's head to the Packers. So I had the Packers on my tablet. I was watching the game as I was watching the Brewers, and it's kind of amazing to like see this, the Big 12 track meet, first of all, and then see the Packers, you know, nearly lose to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Aaron Rodgers pulled a rabbit out of his head, as Jason Witten said on the broadcast. Jason Witten, by the way, oh my God, he is fucking awful. Booger McFarland is really good. Jason Witten is fucking terrible. Just really bad at his job. Like, Jason Witten makes me look like a competent person in the financial services world. Like, but anyways, yes. So the Packers were just a complete wreck for really the whole game. And then Rodgers came through, sort of went into God mode, as people have called it on Twitter. Packers Twitter were saying that. And just went bananas. He gets a game-tying touchdown, then gets a chance to get the win with a field goal after an amazing Kevin King interception. And really, you know, all credit to the Packers for pulling it out. I know that there will be a lot of people who will say, well, this is just another example of Aaron Rodgers bailing out Mike McCarthy. Look, I get it. I'm so fed up with how Mike McCarthy's running this team. And I really think, I hope he spends a lot of time in the bye week really evaluating what he's done this year, and also looks at other teams, looks at other successful teams, and what are they doing differently that we aren't, and we can incorporate into that next week of practice because they damn well need it. They need it badly. They need something. They need a spark. They're still missing it a little bit. I mean, I love the Rodgers. I love the Rodgers play. I loved everything about it, but it still lacked. I mean, this team just still lacks that oomph. Like, they lack that push, and I'm not sure if they're going to get it. Like, you know, you play the Rams and Patriots next 2 weeks after the bye. Great teams who are looking at another level than the Packers. It's hard to be excited. Like, it's cool that Aaron Rodgers did this thing, and I'm, like, obviously enthralled, and maybe it's the head cold that's bringing me sort of the emotion down on me. But, like, I can't, like, get entirely fired up about Aaron Rodgers doing big things. I can still, like, say he's the savior and he's the GOAT, but at the same time, it's like this team has so many problems right now, and this team just – I know that football is a long season. I know that people, they can come out of it and they can be okay. But man, oh man, they have so many things to fix. This defense got just worked. Mike Pettine got his lunch ate by Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan did so many things. Shanahan nearly escaped with C.J. Beathard at quarterback at Lambeau, but they gave Rodgers too many chances and he capitalized on them. And that is kind of what Aaron Rodgers does. Great games from Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham, obviously. Equanimous St. Brown's catch was absolutely incredible. It was a back shoulder throw, but he had to keep both feet in. It was phenomenal. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, really good. Jamon Moore even showed up. He was wide open, and Rodgers didn't even see him. But hopefully now you'll have Cobb, you'll have Allison back, and now with the play of Valdez-Scantling and ESB, they have a kind of a good unit. Like, they have guys, all these guys they can throw at people. The whole Aaron Jones thing needs to get figured out. It's still a problem. I think that's probably where a lot of my frustration and a lot of the other Packer fans' frustration lives with Mike McCarthy, is the fact that he still does not trust Aaron Jones, and it befuddles everyone. I don't think anyone gets what Mike McCarthy's deal is, and I don't know if we'll ever find out what exactly is going on there. But, you know, now it's a bye, and they are 3-2-1, or 4-2-1, excuse me. Or 3-2-1, yes, 3-2-1. They are one back of the division with the Bears, and they do own the tiebreaker with Chicago, which is nice. So the Bears are 3-2, so yeah, they are in first place, which is good, but it's a little bit of a paper tiger at this point. So I usually am an optimist about the Packers. I'm usually feeling pretty solid, but it's hard to be one right now. It's hard to really feel that. Maybe we'll do a little more of a deep dive on the defense, on the team itself, as they're at the bye, and sort of do a sort of mid-year review of the team. This should be fun. All right, well, hopefully tomorrow I'll have a little more energy, be back for another Daily Tap. We'll talk about Game 4, we'll tee up Game 5, and then we'll also talk about the Bucks season opener against the Charlotte Hornets. A couple of things to watch for there. All right, take care, guys. Sorry it's a short one today, but we'll be back hopefully in full force tomorrow. All right, take it easy. Bye.